This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 7:06 a.m. on Monday, the 27th of March. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar in studio today with Philip C. and Wong Xiaoning. In half an hour, we're going to discuss the implications of U.S. restrictions on semiconductor technology for China's economy. But as always, we're going to kickstart the morning with a look at how global markets closed last Friday.
U.S. markets closed up. The Dow was up 0.4%, S&P 500 up 0.6%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.3%. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case for Asia because Nikkei was down 0.1%, Hang Seng down 0.7%, Shanghai Composite down 0.6%, Singapore's STI down 0.2%, and back home, FBM KLCI was down 0.8%.
So joining us on the line to discuss where markets are heading this week is Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Kingsley, good morning. Morning. After Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank is now taking heat, even though it's been profitable for the last 10 quarters. Why is Deutsche Bank and other European banks suddenly seeing a sell-off? Should investors be risk-off on finance stocks?
They may want to be, at least in the near term, say this week at least, because there's too much uncertainty, I think, right now on what exactly the market has unearthed with Deutsche Bank. What I will say is that at times like this, hedge funds will often just probe for weakness with particular banks. We've seen that already in the United States. In the case of Europe, things are a little bit different. Deutsche Bank has had a recent history of profitability. So I don't think it's the income statement that people are worried about. It's probably more the balance sheet, as we saw with Silicon Valley Bank. And so the big issue here is whether the Deutsche Bank balance sheet has some exposures that may actually suffer from the same issue as Silicon Valley Bank. In particular, as interest rates rise, are the values of their assets falling in some areas? And I think the big question mark in the mind of the market right now is commercial real estate exposure and the extent to which Deutsche Bank might have loaded up on some U.S. commercial real estate. But we'll just have to see there. These are uncertain times. People are jumping at shadows sometimes. And we'll just have to see how it unfolds.
So, Kingsley, what's your advice, considering you just said it's uncertain times at this moment? What should investors do? Because I think we can expect another very bumpy week this week for markets.
Yes, indeed. At the margin, I think, I can take our own portfolio, for example. We've been adding to U.S. Treasury bonds at the margin. There's a long period where we didn't own any U.S. bonds, but we think that interest rates are approaching the peak. I think that's market consensus now, and therefore going into high-quality Treasury bonds is probably a good idea. I'd be a bit cautious about taking the extreme long-duration bonds. They will move more, but I think the 10 years are a good value at this point. And obviously, in the very short term, if you were to buy shorter duration securities, they're still offering yields above 3%, and that's probably a pretty good place to park your money for the time being. We just have to see, how serious the situation is. I think it probably is a bit overdone, but never say never. The big issue is the quality of balance sheets in banking generally.
And just building on the conversation about the portfolio, I think you did say that you're not yet getting into tech. But if you look at Nasdaq 100, they've actually recently seen some firm gains. Where are the specific tech stock opportunities then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if you look at how the market's been trading, obviously tech was one of the worst places to be last year. But at the turn of the year in January, we've seen a huge rally in tech. And initially, I think what was driving that was this expectation that interest rates would soon top out. And then when the banking crisis came along, particularly with SVB and Silicon Valley, people were a little nervous for a couple of days, and then they really piled into tech again. So specifically, I think the area of strength in tech continues to be cloud computing, but it's getting a tailwind now from, this extraordinary enthusiasm for generative AI, for, producing images from text, say with DALL-E or other tools like Stable Diffusion and so on, or ChatGPT, the one that gets all the press about, you put in some query and you get some response. Seems to be great for boilerplate stuff. So corporates will adopt it for doing things like that, emails and other things. And it's certainly a lot of fun for, you know, sparking creativity with some of the more zany requests you might put to these chatbots. So I think that when you look at that, there's an obvious impetus to the cloud computing centers that host these facilities, you know, with massive uptake now, millions and millions of people wanting to use these, and a different class of chip that's used to drive that, namely a graphics processing unit or GPU. And NVIDIA really rules the roost there because their systems are tightly intertwined with the ecosystem of developing, training these AIs, and also they use this term inferencing, which is means when the AI actually becomes active, you prompt it and it generates an answer. And you need GPUs for both types of activity. And so therefore, NVIDIA is just on an absolute tear right now, the stock in the United States. It's up more than 100% this year. I think momentum will probably keep that going. But for our taste, I think it's pretty richly valued. It's over 150 times earnings. And so the short answer to your question is, I think tech is the place to be in the very short term. But I think once we get past May, possibly, we'll start to see reality bite, as it were, with you know, this banking issue in the United States, tighter credit, and possibly a recession. So there could be much better places to buy tech stocks later this year. But in the short run, you'll see a lot of hot money chasing them.
And can we turn our attention over to EVs? Although EVs make up only 10% of global car sales, the EV manufacturing industry is already seeing huge cost declines as production ramps up to over 10 million units per year. Can the supply chain for batteries and components keep up with demand?
Yeah, that's really the operative question right now. For it to keep up with that demand, because let's just step back a little bit. You know, the compound growth rate for EVs is around 40% per annum right now. It can be a bit higher, a bit lower, probably a bit higher in places like China right now, or it was at least last year. And that's going to move up and down according as these cost pressures from trying to roll out the supply chain to keep the EV plants operating. You know, when you see too high prices on some of those components, you might see demand come off a little bit. But the discounting that we saw from Tesla and other companies in the first part of this year has arguably given a strong floor to demand going forward. And I think what that means is that it's going to be difficult for this supply chain to keep up. And therefore, you know, this period of weakness that we're seeing right now in the EV battery metals stocks, particularly in places like Australia with Pilbara Minerals well off, and Syrah Resources, for example, in graphite also well down, and a host of other names, we actually think it's a pretty good buying opportunity. The thing that people have to look out for, though, is just this banking credit issue is really going to put the dampener on anything speculative or with distant monetization prospects, shall we say. We saw that with these stocks, not so much with tech, but I'd be stepping in to buy battery metals, you know, when we see some evidence of stabilization in the current downturn.
Can we deepen that conversation about this prospect of a potential credit crunch as a result of this banking crisis, right? Which sectors of the economy, broadly speaking, right, will also be very much affected by this tightening of credit then?
Yeah, this is really it. I mean, a number of commentators have been remarking on just how, you know, crazy, if you will, it is that Silicon Valley Bank managed to go bust with such a great roster of clients. And a lot of it came down to banking 101. They just didn't manage their interest rate risk at all well. So whilst they were called a bank, they were not managing their portfolio in any way that any sensible bank would. And so that's the big issue. We don't know how many other folks are out there who probably are running banks who shouldn't be running banks. And that's the big question. So I think what it means for sectors is that when the sector in question is exposed to the downside of rising interest rates or deteriorating credit quality, that's banks and financials particularly, then that's going to be bad. Other areas that will be bad in the near term, but perhaps not the long term, are those that see the demand hit in the economy once credit tightens. And the market's already decided, made up its mind that that's energy, specifically oil and gas. And so that's been weak. Other areas, it's not clear. I mean, if you think about what's happening in commodities, particularly for the electric vehicle trend, or indeed for any of the things that go into the plan that the Biden administration Inflation Reduction Act is actually supporting. So, you know, that's a range of things from renewable energy generation right through to semiconductor plants for the CHIPS Act. You know, you probably see okay conditions there. So it's going to be very interesting. We think it'll be a bifurcated market. I think energy and financials will be weak. Healthcare is probably going to be okay. Tech's going to run its own race. It's going to be pretty much momentum driven. But the area that doesn't get talked about, which we like, is construction equipment and other capital expenditure intensive items. And so, you know, I'll leave you with one example there. We think, for example, Qantas Services in the United States, which is a company that produces electric grid equipment, will just sail through this crisis come hell or high water, just because the demand wave is so big. So you've got to look for those sorts of areas, we think.
Kingsley, thank you as always for speaking with us. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. Ending the conversation there with a comment on how different sectors could be impacted by the credit crunch that's taking place in the financial sector. Energy and financials not looking so great, but other sectors could be okay.
Yeah, I mean, the question here was, will this be trickling down to the economy? And then do you see that translate to consumer weakness? And then hence, then the problem is, does it then affect the broader sectors of the economy? That's to wait and see, I guess.
Aren't you such an optimist this Monday, Philip C?
Great way to start the Monday morning. It's, look at the sky, it's murky.
Well, the question is, are we going to see a repeat of the 2008 Great Financial Crisis, right? I think that's some concern going out there. At the moment, no, for the moment. But we've got news, right, overnight coming out from Bloomberg that says that Silicon Valley Bank might actually find its new buyer, because Bloomberg is reporting that First Citizens Bank is in advanced talks to acquire the Silicon Valley Bank after its collapse earlier this month. Now, just to jog everyone's memory, can you imagine a bank run, $42 million US dollars all out in one day, no thanks to technology, the bank collapsed within 40 hours, regulators stepped in. Now, would you be brave enough to buy over this bank?
I think given the fact that it's been on the market for 2 weeks now and there haven't really been any takers, I think everyone's very wary about it. But I guess I was surprised to see that two regional banks, First Citizen, as you said, and also Valley National, they're the ones who are thinking to take up SVB. I'm curious what their plans are for the bank.
As opposed to one of the larger bulge bracket businesses, is it? You thought that you would have seen the likes of JP Morgan, Citi get into the groove as opposed to the regional banks?
Who are in dire straits of sorts.
Well, maybe they think, what's the value? What's the synergy, right, if I'm a mega bank? I mean, HSBC did buy Silicon Valley Bank's operations in UK for £1. Maybe this is, that would be the deal, right? I take over SVB for $1 US and then there will be some growth, I can imagine.
Well, we'll find out sooner than later. I hope it's 7:19 a.m. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back to cover more top stories in the newspapers and portals this morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.